For 11 years, government leaders have gathered to explore the latest mandates and best practices at the Government Performance Summit. Today, with a major revision to the Government Performance and Results Act, there is an unparalleled opportunity to integrate analytics into better decision-making for the entire nation. Join hosts the Performance Institute, FMA, AGA, and Gov events April 4th through the 6th for the 11th Annual Government Performance Summit. Space is limited, so register today at governmentperformance.org.
Do you know someone who has done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's second annual Causey Awards. Together, we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated, career, political, and contractors working in the HR field. The award is named after Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefits issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search award.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here to talk this morning about Social Security. And to lead us in that discussion is Lester Austin. He's a public affairs specialist. We've known Lester an awful long time, almost since NITP has been around, so scant 28 years. And Lester was 8 at that point in time, I think. But good morning, Lester.
Good morning. It's a great opportunity to be here this morning with you again on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is a great privilege for us at Social Security to speak about the issue of Social Security.
Wow. I'm going home. Can't beat that. John Elliott, federal benefits strategist, retired Fed, fellow seminar presenter, and co-host of the show today. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Lester.
And my name is Bob Lines. I'm an accountant finance type with NITP, and let's jump into it. Lester, you sent us some great ideas of things to talk about, and probably this show could last almost as long as the Federal Drive, but we're going to try to do it in 53 minutes. So, to get Social Security, I understand you have to get credit for something. What is a credit?
At one time, they used to call it a quarter. They also call it a period, and now they call it a credit. And I'm going to call them quarters. You have to earn so many quarters in order to meet what is called the insured status under Social Security. And a quarter, a credit, a period, all of them is one and the same. And a person can only earn 4 quarters a year. So what that means, Bob and John, is if you're talking to somebody and they tell you that last year that they earned 6 quarters under Social Security, stop talking to them about Social Security because they can only earn 4 quarters a year.
But do you have to work 4 quarters?
No, you don't. What has happened was this. When you go back in time, a quarter used to cost, prior to 1978, $50. And a person had to earn $50 in each quarter in order to be entitled to a quarter of coverage. And they could earn their 4 quarters that way. But effective in 1978, the law changed. Effective in 1978, the amount necessary to earn a quarter escalated from $50 to $250. So therefore, the law stipulated in its content that a person, once they had worked and earned $1,000, whether it was the first day, first week, first month, middle of the year, last month, last week, or the last day, but once that person had earned $1,000, they would be entitled to 4 quarters of coverage. Since then, the amount has escalated, whereas this year, quarter of coverage costs $1,120. So for a person that earned 4 quarters this year, they must earn a minimum of $4,480.
So if I break this down so that I can internalize this, if I'm kind of late to the party and I need some quarter coverage and it's December, if I go out and earn $1,120, in December, I'll get 4 quarters?
If you earn $1,120, you have earned 1 quarter. But say you get a good job and you earn $4,480, then you have earned your 4 quarters of coverage.
And I can maybe, then I guess I'd have to go to work in September. But I would get the whole year coverage, even though I only work 3 months.
You would have earned 4 quarters of coverage.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's say you've got 36 credits or quarters, and you retire and you say, well, gee, I'm only four shy. Maybe you get a job at the mall at the end of the year during the Christmas rush, earn enough, which would be $44.80, and then stay over into the next year. Well, actually, then you'd have 40 credits. My example that I usually give is 32. So you could earn four at the end of the year, stay over at the beginning of the year till you earned whatever the amount you had to earn for the next year, and in relatively short order, earn eight credits. So if you were at 32, you'd hit 40 in a fairly short time.
John, I would just like to add to that and say what happened is, say, like, using your scenario, that person has 32 quarters, and then in September, say December, they go out and they earn the $44.80 this year. So they would have earned the additional four quarters for the 2010, which would bring them up to 36 quarters.
Right.
And then in 2011, say the first week in January, they earned $4,480. So they would have earned the four quarters. But what's so important is this, that the quarters are not a credit to the account until the beginning of that quarter period. So that person would not actually meet the insured status, even though they have earned the base amount, until October 1 when they have actually been accredited with that fourth credit.
Of 2011.
Right.
But you wouldn't have to continue to work.
That's correct.
That's the main thing. That's what I'm trying to get at.
John and I are fortunate to have Lester in the house, but a lot of you aren't. But you can talk to Lester if you'd be kind enough to call us at 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. And Lester will answer your questions. All right, I think I understand a quarter now. Now, let's pretend I'm a CSRSer, and I don't necessarily have any Social Security covered salary, except for jobs I may have worked in the summer, or maybe I had a job before I came in with the feds. How far back can I go to get my quarter coverage? If I paid Social Security on some kind of compensation, am I covered for a quarter or four, depending on the dollar amount?
That's absolutely correct. If you have paid into Social Security prior to entering into federal service, you're going to see those credits. You're going to be actually advised of that, because once a year we send out what is called the statement. And the statement is a sheet that indicates your total earnings under Social Security covered employment. Now, if you have not earned enough quarters of coverage, then it will reflect that as well. So you can look at that sheet, and that would advise you as to how many credits you have actually earned. Now, seems like you're saying to me also, if I don't have enough credits, can I go back and pay into Social Security?
No, I don't. Well, I don't think so. You're the man here.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
No, you cannot, because this is a system that you pay as you go.
But let's say I had a few years and I would like to get Social Security income. This is a two-pronged question. Then again, CSRS or years ago, I had some quarter coverage. Now I need maybe another two, three, four, 5 years, and I go out and do whatever. Is there a minimum amount that you will get from Social Security if you made a minimum amount of money?
Prior to 1977, we used to pay a minimum amount of $177.80 a month. That's what someone could be entitled to. But now the minimum amount is based on your actual contributions to Social Security. So, based on what you put in it is what you're going to get out of it. The average check right now is about $11.85 a month. The maximum check's about $24.85, and the minimum check that I've seen is about $19.
Okay, so that might be somebody like me asking this question. The bulk of my money was made under CSRS without the Social Security coverage, and I'm catching it at the beginning of my career before I joined Uncle, and I'm catching it at the end, so I probably haven't paid
any
attention.
I'm a perfect example of your question. I was covered.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I was covered and retired under CSRS only. I got my annual statement, and it said I had 25 credits, approximately 25 credits, for work prior to my government career in the private sector. And then by doing the work I do for an ITP, at some point, I think in January 2006, I earned the three credits I needed to hit 40. So I therefore I knew I was going to get a Social Security benefit someday. Although I'm old enough to get one, I haven't applied for it yet. But I will get hit by the infamous windfall elimination provision because I have a pension that was based in all or part, in my case all, on not being covered under Social Security. So while I will get a benefit, and since I'm planning to wait till my full Social Security retirement age, I've estimated, either using your calculator online or doing it manually, I've done them both, maybe I, even with a windfall, I'll get $500 extra dollars a month, but it's extra money that I wouldn't have if I'd never gotten that 40th credit.
And it's 15% tax-free for you and probably non-taxable in Virginia.
You're right.
I
don't know, but you're the tax guy, so I agree with you, yes.
And John, you bring up a very good point right there. Prime example is just like you said yourself. You know that you're working and earning enough credits, but then after you retired from federal government, prior to retirement, you knew you didn't have enough. So now you're self-employed. You're paying into Social Security on line 12 on the 1040. You're showing you got a business. Then you're going to fill out the Schedule C, and the Schedule C, you're going to show that gross amount of earnings, take away those business expenses. You're going to end up with net $400 or greater. You're going to file the Schedule SC. And that's where you pay your Social Security tax at 15.3%, being a self-employed individual.
That's exactly what I do.
So therefore, you have enough. You have acquired. When we sent that statement out, because we're giving you a estimate based on the best guesstimate that you have given us, and we're saying what you can be entitled to, but by you being entitled, being affected by what is called the windfall elimination provision of the law, you can cut that amount in half. So on your estimate, it's going to show about $1,000. By you being entitled to less than that, we're going to cut in half, because what happens is when a person is not under the CRS, the Civil Service Retirement System, we index their earnings. So when you go back to high school and college, we index those earnings to bring them up to current day value. So when a person is affected by the civil servant, being a civil servant, and they're affected by the windfall elimination provision, we're going to compute that benefit differently, which basically cuts it in half.
Okay. All right, Lester. Now, let's say that I've got my quarter coverage through the front door, back door, side door, it doesn't make any difference. Do I go down to a local office, or if I feel, you know, at ease with a computer, can I go online to start my payments?
What I would say to the American public is this, that after World War II, something strange in America happened. And what that is, it was a lot of loving going on. And from the result
only
of
after
all
World War II?
After World War II, a lot of loving.
What'd they do before?
And what happened was this, the silver tsunami, better known as the baby boomers. 80 million people, can you imagine? We have 1,300 field offices across America. And we anticipate from that baby boom generation, anywhere from 10 to 17,000 people a day will be visiting Social Security. And the best way for us to deal with that traffic is online. Online. So if a person wants to file for retirement benefit, if they want to file for disability, they have choices. One, they can walk into a Social Security office. Two, they can set up an appointment by phone. Three, they can set up an appointment to go into an office by phone. Or they can go online. But what makes it so unique for folks to understand, when you go online, we're pulling that application in the next day. The next day, when you go into just walk into a field office, because there are going to be so many people, you're going to have to take a number and wait and wait and wait. I used to say, take your lunch. But now we have signs up in the reception area, so no eating in the reception area. And now we're also asking people to turn off their cell phone. But when you do it online, you're in convenience of your own home. You can take your time. And just in case you want to get off to get something to eat, might have to go pick your spouse up, we could give you a password and a PIN so you can re-enter at a later time and complete that application.
Lester, let's set up a deli next. There's a place in Rockville, a Social Security office. Anyway, and please listen to Lester's words closely.
I intend to apply online when I apply. The folks
in that office work hard, but that office, it was used to be in our building. Every seat was filled waiting to get to talk
to someone. And that's absolutely correct. People are coming to us, and 2010 was about the first... 2009 was the first year the baby boomers reaching age 62. And, the population is for Social Security traffic is definitely increasing. So I would encourage somebody to visit Social Security's website at www.socialsecurity.gov. And that's again, www.socialsecurity.gov. And what I want them to do is click on it, stick on it, and stroll through it. A lot of information there. They can file for retirement benefits online. They can file for disability benefits online. We are just a click away at Social Security.
And I
would add to the website, most of your information is, if you click on publications, you'll find really most of the useful information you'll ever need about Social Security. But you have to know to click on publications, and then they have things on all different subjects, and they have a menu, and then you can click on the item you want, and it's relatively easy to get answers.
Lester, are there things that are asked either online or in person that may throw somebody off that they didn't bring with them? Is there any, not personal driving records and stuff, but just stuff that they might not otherwise think that they would need?
When a person visits our website, we just revamped that a couple months ago to make it more user-friendly and easier. If a person needs large print, they can click on large print and the printer get larger. And then we have what is called frequently asked questions. And a person could ask the question and say, what do I need to file for retirement? And that information will come up. And let me tell you, when a person files online, statistical data has proven if a person, when they first got their Social Security card, told us that, and now they're telling us the same thing, when they file online, we will not have to see their birth certificate.
Okay. All righty. So let's say that I'm all ready to go. When should I go? I understand that if you apply at one age, your benefit will be X. If you apply at a later age, then it'll be X plus some factor, and later still X plus two factors. It's not a multiplication thing. But what do you advise people? What do you see people doing? It's kind of a really wide, open-ended question, but I'm sure it would vary with the person. But the first age that they can do it at as early as 62. But if they wait, is there a certain percentage of X, let's say X is the benefit that they'd be entitled to at 62. What happens if they go in, and what's the next age level where it would pop up?
Well, we look at what is called the full retirement age. And when an individual takes the benefits before the full retirement age, the benefits are reduced about approximately 0.5% per month. Now, for those that like to play with math, it's probably 0.625% per month for each month that they elect to receive the benefit before their full retirement age. And the full retirement age has gone up. For an example, those individuals born 1937 and earlier, full retirement age is 65. For those individuals born between 1943 and 1954, full retirement age is 66. And it's going to escalate for those individuals born 1960 and later, full retirement age will be 67. So when you look at those people born, those individuals born between 1943 and 1956, they're going to have a 25% reduction if they elect to receive it at age 62 versus those individuals born 1960 and later. Therefore, retirement age is 67, so therefore they'll have a 30% reduction in their benefit.
So I guess that would also fall into not only the dollar amounts, but you might look at heredity and say, listen, maybe the sooner I get at this, the better, because brother.
The break-even points are far in the future. That's why a lot of people do decide, and particularly in the past, when life expectancy wasn't as long as it's getting to be, a lot of people, maybe a majority, Lester would know, took them at 62. Because the break-even point, when you factor in the COLAs missed, and maybe I don't understand the inflated dollars angle of it, but it may be the average break-even point might be in your early 80s.
13 to 15 years.
13 to 15 years. There you go. So if you could have, if you waited till 66 and you 4 years didn't get any money, it would take you 13 to 15 years. What is that? Into your, as I said, early 80s. Late 70s, early 80s, before you break even.
All righty. But if somebody is 62, maybe, and I 100% agree with you, John, but somebody 62 may need not apply if they're still working.
Right.
Well, that's absolutely correct, because it's Social Security. We have what is called an earnings test. So when a person is under their full retirement age, and sometimes when individual retires, they might want to go back to work part-time. Under Social Security, they can do that. And our earnings limitation, and when we talk about earnings, we're talking about an employer-employer situation or an individual being self-employed. We're not talking about annuities, royalties from the book that a person wrote about their marriage, their rental properties, and different things like that. But we're talking about an employer-employer situation or self-employed. This year, a person could earn $14,000 under their full retirement age, $14,160. And for every $2 they go over that amount, we want them to reimburse us with $1. So that's $14,160. Now, for a person in the year that they turn their full retirement age this year, they can earn $37,680. $37,680. And for every $3 they go over that amount, we want them to reimburse us with $1. Now, people are living longer, working longer. When you think about Social Security was passed in law August 14th, 1935. The average life expectancy at that time was 60 to 65 years of age. Here now, life expectancy is anywhere from 80 to 85 years of age. So people are living longer. So people now are delaying retirement. And if they are going to do that, what happens, say they reach their full retirement age, 66, and they decide not to take their Social Security because they're still working and they chose not to receive the benefit, even though you can work and earn as much as you want once you reach your full retirement age. They're going to say, hold up, I don't need it right now because I can get an 8% increase on my Social Security from 66 up to age 70. So a lot of people are looking in at that, and they're planning further out than we used to do at 62. And so now it's a personal decision. Person got to make that decision.
A lot of people will also delay because it gets a higher spousal benefit for their spouse someday, and particularly surviving spouse. So question I had about, since we were talking about the earnings test, I've read at your website and that if you have money withheld because you exceeded the 14160 and you've had money withheld, as you just described, at your full retirement age, say 66, for example, which is a bulk of the population, they start paying you back that withheld money, don't they?
If we withhold, how do you mean that? Let me make sure.
Well, if you've worked and exceeded the earnings limit, the 14160, so they withheld one out of every $2 you've earned on that limit.
Right.
And this is a question I'm asking. And let's say your full retirement age is 66. I've read, unless I misinterpreted the writing on the website, is that they start paying you back that money that they withheld previously.
I'm not sure where you read it, but I'm here. Just let me set the record straight. That's how come it's such a great opportunity to have Social Security to be today, just to set the record straight and let people know just what's going on. If a person exceeds, say, like, for an example, let me use you, John. Thank you. You're so kind, John. Mm-hmm. And let's say that you know that this year that you're going to work part-time and you're going to earn about $20,000. So you have exceeded that $14,160. Let's just round it off $1,500 for conversation's sake. So you earn $20,000, the limit is $15,000, so you're $5,000 over, right?
Right.
So being $5,000 over, we want $2 for every one that you exceed, so that's $2,500 that you're over. So let's say you're getting $1,000 a month. What we're going to do, because you're going to come and tell us up front what you're doing, I'm going to earn $20,000. So therefore, what we're going to do, is we're going to hold the January check, $1,000. We're going to hold the February check, $1,000. We're going to hold part of the March check, $500, and pay you a partial check for $500. And then for the rest of the year through, you'll be getting your $1,000 a month.
Right.
So we have withheld any possible overpayment that may exist. Now, if you earn less than what you have told us and we've already made a withholding of that, yes, we will reimburse you.
I see. That's how it works.
All right. Now, Lester, we've talked a lot about Social Security, and we're going to continue, but some people may not get to the age of full Social Security because, unfortunately, they become disabled. So can somebody younger than 62 or whatever the age is apply for Social Security disability?
And Bob, that is so important. When we look at this great campaign that America is engaged in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and Pakistan, our young wounded warriors, they're coming back and at the full polytrauma units around the country. And even while they are being hospitalized because of their disabilities in a lot of situations, they're unable to work. Because they're not doing their regular MOS, they could be entitled to Social Security benefit because a lot of them are waiting to be medically boarded out. So what I'm saying to you, if a person becomes disabled at any age, they can file for Social Security disability. There's an earnings requirement for a person 31 years of age and older. They must meet what is called the 2040 test. So out of the 10-year period prior to them becoming disabled, they must have at least 5 years of work. An example, person becomes disabled in 2000. We're going to look back to 1990. So from 1990 to 2000, that person must have 5 years of work. When a person's under 24 years of age, all they need is a year and a half of work. So, yes, they could be entitled to disability benefits. And what's so important and what the American public needs to know is Social Security is not just retirement, but this is a package plan that doesn't stop working. Because if we pay that individual benefit, we can pay their children a benefit. We can pay spousal benefits. We can pay the entire family.
Okay, for those of you all that didn't catch what MOS means, it's military occupational status. But Lester was right on target with that, but I don't want anybody listening to just think this is for the military. So if you worked in private industry and you couldn't do your job, it might be called private industry OS.
Right.
It would be the same for them as well, wouldn't it?
It would be the same for them as well. Someone goes to the doctor, find out that the doctor's telling them not to work for the next 5 years. That's correct. So they come in and file for Social Security benefits, and they could possibly be entitled based on a preponderance of that medical evidence.
Okay.
So do you have to qualify for disability, Social Security generally, do you have to be disabled to the point where you really just can't work at anything, or are there some things they would allow you to do and still collect Social Security disability? And I know that's kind of a...
No, that's a very good question. And the answer to that question is the definition for disability and Social Security is not like in the military where they say that person's 30, 40, 50%. It's not like in the civilian world where they say that person, OPM, Office of Personnel Management, would say that person is no longer able to do that job, but they could do another job. At Social Security, we're saying that person got it has a physical or mental condition that prevents them from engaging in any substantial gainful activity. That means any kind of work. That work that they used to do or any other work that they could be retrained to do based on their age and their education, that this is a condition which has lasted or which will last 12 months or longer or result in death. That's the definition. So when a person comes to Social Security, they're not saying they're partial or they're temporary, but this is a condition which is going to last 12 months or longer or result in death.
All right, let me ask you, this might not be an easy question to answer. Let's say an individual during their entire career, they worked the maximum number of years, and they always earned half of the Social Security max wage. Let's just say that. Is there a way to say how much that they would get if they applied at 66?
Absolutely correct. Once a person clicks on our website, visit our website at www.socialsecurity.com, we have what is called benefit calculators. So with that statement, if a person wants to manually do that, they can plug in those money amounts on the benefit on the benefit estimator, and they can compute what they could be entitled to. Also, what they can do on our benefit calculators are put what if scenarios. What if I work this long? What if I stop? What if I earn this amount? What if I earn nothing? They can do these different things with the three benefit calculators that we have online.
Which makes it a whole lot easier than taking out that statement, which is an outstanding statement that you get and try to figure it out manually.
It's a person's choice. So we at Social Security want to offer the American public choices of doing business with us. So some folks will look at that statement and say, okay, they'll go back and review the earnings. But if they see anything missing, they'll contact us so we can correct the record. Some folks want to play with the different calculators. Number two, we say is a little easy. Number three is more detailed. Number one is short. We send out a statement to folks 25 years of age and older once a year, 3 months before their birthday. And we only send out 135 million of those a year.
Is that all?
That's it.
I remember when I got my first one, I said, who's this for? It's got my name. Social Security, it can't be for me.
Well, when I started getting mine years ago, they had captured, as far as I could tell accurately, all my earnings prior to my federal career, which I think I started working in high school last summer between junior and senior year, and they had that amount that I earned. I assume it was
now,
correct.
That was a good point. I found it the opposite, that they had missed some stuff, and it's not there. I mean, can you imagine the data you got to collect? And it was just unbelievably easy to have it corrected. And I called the folks. I sent them copies of W-2s or whatever, my tax returns, and they go, yes, you're right. And for whatever reason, something didn't get in for, I think, 2 years.
And, Bob, that's good. That's a great point that you bring up. We need to see some type of evidence, and what you submitted, the W-2, that's the best evidence for us to go back and correct those earnings. Sometimes it may be that the business has gone out of business. So what we could do is research and see if we can find those missing earnings for an individual. But we encourage folks, because that statement is a financial tool to help you plan for your retirement, because Social Security was never intended to be one and all for retirement or disability. But Social Security is a base to build on. So one needs the Social Security as the base to build on. Then you look at your retirement, and then you look at your investments and other things that you may have.
Yes. And the Social Security, somebody might say, well, how would Social Security have W-2s? Well, they get copies of the W-2s, no?
Guess who Social Security's best friend is?
IRS.
Internal Revenue Service.
It's all of our best friends.
And they're charged with the responsibility of collecting the taxes.
Yes. Yeah, because, you know, people say, I'm an accountant, so they say, well, what form do I have to file so that I pay my Social Security? I said, IRS collects all and then distributes, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So they collect the Social Security tax that one might have to pay if they're self-employed or if they have some part-time small job or some, excuse me, not small job, because that would be on the W-2. So they'll collect it if it's not covered on the W-2.
And like I said, this is a great opportunity for us at Social Security to be here at Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and definitely encourage those folks that are sitting out there listening to pick up the phone and give us a call at 202-465-3082. That's 202-465-3082. 202-465-3082.
Perfect. 80. Now, Lester, is it unfair to ask if somebody is listening to this? And a lot of people listen to this show Monday night. Why? Because it's 10 o'clock and a lot of people can't listen to it Monday during the day. And a lot listen Tuesday night and a lot listen Wednesday night. So how would somebody get in touch with you, or in general, you might not want everybody listening to email you tomorrow morning. Is there a place to get the man?
Yeah, online. Online. It's so easy. And when folks have that information accessible to them immediately, and then if they have the question, Bob, because they don't pick up the phone and call us, they can go to our website and have, and under frequently asked questions, they can ask us those questions. We have speakers that go out and speak on the issues of Social Security at different organizations.
Lester, your public is calling you. Good morning.
Yeah, this is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing? I want to ask a question. I'm getting ready to retire in 3 years. I'll be 60 years old. I do have the full amount in Social Security. Is it a windfall? And I plan on doing my Social Security. Can I file for it at 60? I don't want to wait till I'm dead and gone.
What I would say to you, because right now you're 3 years before your 62nd birthday.
No, I'll be in 3 years. I'm retiring from the government.
You're going to be retiring from the federal government. Have right. you worked under Social Security covered employment prior to entering into the government?
Yeah, I have a lot in Social Security. I think it was like $1,000. I looked at the statement.
Okay. So on your statement, you're going to be
FERS?
Yeah, I'm FERS.
Right.
So what's going to happen is that those individuals that are under the Federal Employee Retirement System, what is better called FERS, they will not be affected by this law called the Windfall Elimination Provision, nor will their spouses be affected by what is called the Government Pension Offset. So that amount that you see that you're going to receive under Social Security, that's absolutely correct.
Okay.
Now, Mike, if I take it you're not as old as I am. So if you're 62 and qualifying for this, if you decide that after you retire you want to do some work, watch out that you don't exceed how much is that number, Lester?
That amount for earnings, the earnings limitation is $14,160. And for every $2 you go over that amount, we want you to reimburse us with $1. And again, we're talking about an employer-employer situation or an individual being self-employed. For your pension, your annuity, royalties from the book that you wrote, rental properties, things of that nature do not count. We're just talking about an employer-employer situation of self-employment.
Okay, but can I go and file for Social Security before I reach age 62? It's 60.
We encourage people to file 3 months in advance to when the benefit is due. So you can visit us at www.socialsecurity.gov and just file your claim.
But not at 60, right, Mike?
No, 3 months before at the point that he wants to receive the retirement benefit. So what that means is, no, you can't do it 2 years in advance. 3 months before your 62nd birthday, we will want you to call us or visit us online.
Okay, and the age went up to 66, you said, I heard?
Well, when were you born? What year were you born?
1953.
So your full retirement age would be 66, same as mine.
Same as mine.
Yeah, same as a lot of us.
I guess all of us.
So what Lester has said, if you waited till 66, you'd collect 100%. If you collect at 62, you'd collect 75%. Each month you get closer to 66, you get a little more, right, Lester?
That's
0.5% more. So if you're going to retire at 63, maybe I would recommend, I mean, you can do what you want, because you'd be affected by the earnings test, because your federal employment, I'm guarantee, as you well know, is going to way exceed $14,160. So you'd become subject to the earnings test, right, Lester?
If he's still working, that's
correct. Yeah, if he's still working. But he said you're going to work till 63 and retire. Am I right?
60. 3 more years, I'm out of here.
Okay. Well, then maybe what you want to do, as soon as you stop working for the feds, and if you're going to retire and not work or not work for wages, maybe then you want to then go collect your Social Security benefit, because you said you wanted to collect it as soon as possible, which
right.
does make some sense because of the long break-even points by delaying.
Right.
So that may be a plan for you.
Yeah, I don't want to wait till I get 66. I mean, not
understood. Understood.
Every day. I want to get my money that I put in before they change it again.
No. At Social Security, since its conception, we've always made changes. Social Security is not going anywhere. We've always made changes. We're going to continue to do so. Right now, we do have a surplus at Social Security, and that's the fact of the matter. And in 2016, approximately, we will begin paying out more money that we're bringing in. And that surplus that we have, we will be able to continue to pay 100% benefit until 2037. And even at that time, if we make no changes at Social Security, for those individuals coming on the rolls in 2037 and later, we will still be able to pay them 76% of 100% benefit.
Mike's going to come down here in that year and have a beer with us. All right, okay, Mike.
All right. It's good listening to you. I listen to Federal News every day.
Good. You're a wise man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Yeah, but again, they pick up the phone and just give us a call at 202-465-3080.
Perfect.
Pick up that phone. This is the time. The time is now.
Okay, let's work it up a notch. What about children? Can children get Social Security through their parents?
That's absolutely correct. Children 18 years of age and younger, or 19 and a full-time student in high school, they can receive benefits on their parents' record, whether their parents are deceased or disabled, or maybe it might be a retiree. A person that is retired that has a young child under the age of 18, or again, 19 and a full-time student in high school. It may be that, let me give you another example. It may be that you're 62 years of age and filing for a retirement benefit. You have a child that has a disability before age 22. Even though that child now is 45 years of age, based on you filing for retirement benefits and the documentation indicating that child had a disability prior to age 22, we could pay that child a benefit on your record.
Thank you. Got another caller. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
So, fire away. You got the man, Lester, that is, listed in it, and John, I'm here along for the ride.
My question is, I'm 66, and I'm still working for the federal government, and I'm drawing Social Security. I read somewhere where it says that your account is viewed every year because you're making more money and you're supposed to get an increase because you're still contributing to the system. Can this be explained to me?
Yes, it can. What happens is once a year, we look at those additional earnings. Once Internal Revenue Service report that to us, we look at those additional earnings. And then in looking at those additional earnings under Social Security covered employment, that could lead to an increase in your benefit. It's not always going to do so, but there's a great possibility that that could happen. But once the year has concluded, we look at those additional earnings under Social Security covered employment, and we look and see if you can be entitled to an increase in the benefit. And we will notify you of that situation in writing.
Oh, okay. So it's viewed in January, or is it viewed in your birthday month?
No, it's viewed once the tax year has closed.
They look at it really like in the rearview mirror. So they know what you did from the prior calendar year, and then they make the adjustment in the subsequent year.
That's correct.
But they don't really know, nobody could know until December 31st. What your earnings were.
Once you make that report to Internal Revenue Service, a lot of times being an employee is going to take anywhere from about 60 to 90 days for Internal Revenue Service to get that information to us.
Oh, okay.
So it's nothing for you to do. It's done automatically.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So go on buy that car.
And thanks for giving us a call here at Federal News Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your help.
Sure enough. All righty. There was a question that came in on an email, and it's way too long for me to read. John, Lester, this is on number one. Can you all boil that down? And this was actually a question sent to Mike Causey, and Mike was kind enough to send it over to us, knowing that Lester would be here. Or should I give you more time to read it?
No, I've read it before.
Okay.
I read it when you emailed it to me yesterday.
I thought you did.
It's more of a statement rather than a question, but he or she is exactly right. He's cautioning people under FERS who get offered an early out, often accompanied with a $25K buyout amount, but that's the buyout amount is kind of beside the point. What he's saying is that people are under FERS may be under the impression if they retire under an early out with less than 30 years that they would fall under what we call the minimum retirement age plus 10 rules, which means your FERS annuity would be reduced 5% a year for each year you're under 62, prorated monthly. But if you are lucky enough to get an early out offer, number one, there's no age reduction, so you'd get the full FERS annuity based on 22 or 25 years of service, whatever it is for you. And starting at your minimum retirement age, which can range from 55 to 57, depending on your year of birth, they also start paying you an additional amount of money called the FERS annuity supplement. So what he's pointing out, and he's undoubtedly right, that people are getting confused when they're trying to make a decision whether to go early or not, to take an early out offer. And a lot of people are under the mistaken assumption, A, there could be an age reduction if they're under 30 years, and number two, that they won't get the supplement. All of that's true. If you go out on your own voluntary minimum retirement age plus 10, but if you get this early out offer, again, you can choose to take advantage of it or not, the financial picture brightens considerably in terms of your annuity calculation. Just, again, you get the supplement starting at your minimum retirement age, and there is no age reduction to the basic FERS annuity. So that makes the early out offer, if you're thinking of retiring anyway, a lot more favorable. And that's what he was pointing out, and he's exactly right. We should stress that, because particularly if we're going to face a new round of downsizing the government, that's very important for our FERS friends to understand.
All right, following up on that was another email that came in yesterday, and it was a question, but it was a waterfall question. The first one issue was voluntary early retirement authority lump sum payment. Is it subject to Social Security and Medicare?
It is.
Okay. Then the second one, if yes, does it make a difference if these taxes, whether I take it as one lump sum or spread out over 1 year and carry into the next year? I don't know how you do that, but how do you do that?
Well, apparently you get, and some agencies will give you the option, you can take it in one lump sum immediately, or you can, in her agency's case, choose to spread them out and take periodic payments rather than get the full lump sum. Now, just from the standard tax, and you're the tax guy, we'll get back to the Social Security tax issue in a minute. You've always said that it's better to pay taxes later than sooner. So if you could ordinarily, just from a tax perspective, disregarding the FICA tax, we'll get back to that, because that's going to change the equation. It's better maybe to take them, if you can spread the part of the payment out into the following tax year. I mean, you've always said, correct me.
I think it's a win-win, because otherwise it would go on top of a full salary, but now only half of it goes on top of the full salary.
But this lady's situation was this, according to her email. She got the 25K buyout, the VERA, when she retired in 2010. Now, she had the option of taking the 25K as a lump sum. Yes, they do withhold for income tax, and they also have to withhold, if you're under FERS or CERS offset, for the FICA tax. But she had, at the point she retired, she had reached the taxable wage base limit of, and in 2010 it was 106,800. I think it's going to be the same in 2011.
Right, it's the same this year, 106,800.
Right. So they didn't have to take FICA tax because her total compensation was above 106,800. So they didn't take FICA tax out. So if she'd taken the 25K then, ba-boom, apparently no FICA tax would have been due. However, she chose the other path to start taking it in 2011, and lo and behold, they started taking FICA tax out because obviously she wasn't going to, she hadn't reached the 106,800. So,
but wouldn't it also, what's that thing again, credits? Wouldn't it give her more credits in the subsequent year if she didn't otherwise work?
That's correct. She's going to earn those additional credits because she's paying on because, like John said, in the prior year, she hit the max at 106,800. This year, she's going to pay up into that same max. But she knows that she's receiving this money, and she's saying, why are they taking Social Security? We're mandated to take the taxes.
Right. So,
because it's considered earned income. That's right. Pure and simple. That's what it is.
Exactly right. And, you know, it's Probably she should have taken the lump sum, as I'm guessing.
Here's another issue with earned income. Let's say somebody retires, their FERS, and they retire December 31st. Let's say they're CSRS and they go out January 1st, 2nd, or 3rd. They're going to get a paycheck in the next calendar year for money that was earned in the prior. So it's the same concept. It's when you get the money, it's taxable. It's not when you earn it.
Okay, well, let me bring this point in from Social Security's perspective. And what that is because that money was earned in the prior year and not earned in the current year, it will not count towards the earnings test that we talked about earlier, that $14,160 or that $37,000 for the year a person turns it for a return money, $37,680. And a lot of times people will come to Social Security and say, when should I retire? This is a personal decision, such as the questioner. That's a personal decision that they would have to make. So it's very, very insightful for an individual to make sure that every T has been crossed, every I has been dotted when they make that final decision to retire.
All righty. Finally, this person indicated that their CSRS offset, and they were talking about taxes. I don't think the taxes are going to be that much different in the year of full employment versus the year of retirement. I don't think the tax rate is going to go up. And Social Security is going to be 85% taxable regardless.
Right.
In her case, state, I don't know, but in many states, they don't tax Social Security.
Well, it depends. Social Security can be taxable for an individual that has taxable income of $25,000 or greater, taxable anywhere from 50 to 85%.
At and CSRS for a couple. Offset, she's
what
at
is
85%.
It for a couple?
For a couple, $32,000
yeah,
or greater.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. Okay. It's taxable anywhere again, sure from 50 to 85%.
Okay.
All right, Lester, we're winding down the clock here. Final comments?
Final comments. Visit Social Security at the website, www.socialsecurity.gov. I encourage folks to click on it, stick on it, and stroll through it. A lot of information right there. If you want to file online, you can file your retirement application online. You can file for disability online. If you have a question, you can go to frequently asked questions. If you want to know what you need in order to file, we can indicate that to you as well. And our website is 24/7.
Okay, we're clicking and sticking and MOSing. All righty, John.
Well, we could have gone on at least another hour because there's so much information. Social Security will always be there. It's a relatively easy fix. I know you've heard about the difficulties, but it'll be there for you.
Okay, thanks, Lester. Look forward to seeing you next time. John, probably see you in a week or two. I don't know who's coming on next week, and I'm embarrassed to say that. But anyway, thanks, y'all, for listening, and check us next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.
This is Jim Fleisig. Please join me on Tuesday, March 1st at 12 noon for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. This month will be a Department of Homeland Security CIO roundtable live from the 2011 AFSEA Homeland Security Conference. My guests will be from Coast Guard, NPPD, TSA, and CIS. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum Tuesday, March 1st at 12 noon right here on 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by the AFSEA Homeland Security Conference and Solutions Series.
Do you know someone who has done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate